You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the GM Shuffle.
So let's play a game. You're Terry Fontenot. I'm Arthur Blank. How are you selling me on this pick after I just gave you $90 million guaranteed?
Well, Mr. Blank, this is a guy that, if he could be a top-level quarterback, and we also, our guy that we did sign is coming off an Achilles.
Why did I have to take money out of my account to pay this guy? Where's the answer to these questions?
You're listening to the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. Here is Femi Abebefe.
Welcome to a special Friday edition of the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and Visa. And I'm your host, Femi Abebefe. As always, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Our producer, Elliot Bowman, with us on the ones and twos. It's the day after the first round of the NFL Draft. A record-breaking night, a puzzling night. Michael Lombardi, you've now had some time to sleep on it. How you feeling about the team building that we saw yesterday night, or last night, I should say, in Detroit?
Well, you know, the Falcons continue to dazzle me. I mean, Terry, Super Bowl winning GM Fontenot, was remarkable, and Kaiser Sose McKay was nowhere near to be found in the draft room. Look, I think everybody was shocked by what the Falcons did, but the reality of what the Falcons did goes more to their lack of preparation and planning than the actual pick. Okay, yep. For me, it's no problem to draft Michael Penix, the eighth pick in the draft. Michael Penix is a really good player. The problem is you had the eighth pick in the draft when the season was over on January the 14th. What was Fontenot, Super Bowl winning GM Fontenot, doing with his 21 wins collected in his pocket? What was he doing during the fall? And up until that point, when he was watching Falcon games, knowing that he needed a quarterback, okay? He knew he needed a quarterback. I mean, it was pretty obvious.
Yeah, no mystery there.
No mystery. So you're out scouting. You know this is a quarterback draft. You've got a lot of guys. Bo Nix up for the Heisman, Jaden Daniels. You don't know where it's all going to play out, but you kind of have a sense of it. To me, where you have to be really critical of the Falcons here is their lack of preparation, their lack of long-range planning, and their lack of a vision. Because why sign Kirk Cousins and pay him $90 million and trap your team into a situation that they did when you have the eighth pick and you want to pick Michael Penix?
Yep.
And I don't want to hear this bullshit that, well, we went out to Washington on a cold, windy day and he threw the ball really well. Well, that's an indictment of you, Super Bowl winning GM Terry Fontenot, because you should have been out there to watch him play. You should have seen him in your office. You should have seen every goddamn tape on every quarterback before the end of the season. You know you're drafting a quarterback. Like, this isn't we're going to react to it. What were you doing Monday through Saturday in October? What were you doing? Besides ripping Arthur Smith to everybody you could rip him to. What were you doing besides leaking stuff to Seth Wickersham for the column? Like, what the hell were you doing? Like, that's your job, is to protect the franchise. But what I don't understand, Femi, and this is really which is the other hard part, is the job of an owner is to ask really good questions. So let's play a game.
Yep.
All right. You're Terry Fontenot. I'm Arthur Blank. How are you selling me on this pick after I just gave you $90 million guaranteed? You cost me a yacht.
Yeah.
How are you selling me on this?
What I would say is, well, Mr. Blank, this is a guy that in 4 to 5 years, if he can be a top-level quarterback.
I might be dead in 4 or 5 years, Femi.
Well, if he can be a top-level quarterback, and we also, our guy that we did sign is coming off an Achilles. He's a little bit older.
But
we're not sure where he's at.
Why do we guarantee him all the money if he's coming off an Achilles? You just took $90 million of my coin.
These are all fair questions that you're asking, but there's a quarterback that we believe in, and we wanted to go ahead and take him.
Why didn't you believe in him in December and January or February? Why do you got to believe in him now? Why did I have to take money out of my account to pay this guy? Like, where's the answer to these questions?
None of it makes sense.
It's insane.
None of it makes sense.
It's insane. Look, you have every right to pick Penix at 8. No one's going to argue with you. I said it before the draft. Look, don't criticize any of these quarterback picks. Do not. You don't know as much as the teams do. But quarterbacks are not like defensive linemen. You can't play it. You can't rotate them through. So Fontenot's behaving as a guy who's got no money, but he spends money to buy a second Rolex. You can't wear two Rolexes. How about the quote? We have it. Elliot, why don't you play the,
yeah,
this
we
one
the
almost.
The sound bite. We have two sound bites from Terry Fontenot from the post-draft press conference from yesterday. This one is on the process of taking Michael Penix and why this is a good idea to pay Cousins $90 million guaranteed, but also draft Penix eighth overall.
When you get Kirk Cousins and you talk about short-term winning, you talk about winning right now, which we know we're going to be in position to do, which we want to be in position to do, we won't have the ability to be picking this high again with the guy that we got. And these guys go off the board pretty quickly, and we thought it would be important for us to address our future quarterback right now while we're picking this low.
Yeah, when you can add a high-caliber player like that with his intangibles, those tools, he's a winner. Very, very excited. You don't pass up that opportunity. Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We're very excited about Kirk, very excited about this team. And Michael Penix is, we're talking about the future.
So that was both head coach Raheem Morris first and then Terry Fontenot, the general manager, second. Even just listening to them speak about it, I'm dumbfounded with all the questions that you just asked me. Those are the questions that Arthur Blank should have been asking that they just can't. There's no answer for them.
And really, it's an indictment of Super Bowl winning GM Fontenot's work ethic. It's an indictment of his inability to really say, this is the guy, this is who I like. He and Ryan Pace, this is another quarterback Ryan Pace is responsible for drafting. This is three now. Okay. What were you doing? Like, you can pick this guy, but why didn't we just pick him at eight and not give $90 million to Kirk Cousins? Don't tell me short-term Kirk's going to help us win for 2 years. Like, he's not Jacoby Brissett at $8 million.
No.
You just gave him $90 million. And he wants to play 3 years. He's talking about playing up past this contract.
And he's now frustrated by this. But his agent was telling Pete Thamel at ESPN that he was surprised.
Of course he's surprised.
They didn't let him know until they were on the clock. We also have that soundbite. This is from both Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris about Cousins' reaction to the team drafting Michael Penix.
Whichever one of you called Kirk when you were on the clock and you tell me about it, what's his reaction?
Well, that's a private. We wouldn't share that, you know. And obviously we
– reactions are pretty private, right?
Yeah.
You know, he got called on the clock, obviously, because it's a sensitive time with the issues of what you got going on. It's never a right time to talk to a quarterback about those things, and reactions are always going to be private when it comes to those things, unless Kirk decides to tell you some of those things, whatever the case may be. But he's a competitor, just like us all, and you can always expect those things to go just like you kind of think.
If I'm Cousins, I'm saying, why the hell did you give me $90 million to then draft my replacement with the eighth overall pick? Kirk Cousins is thinking about, can we go to the playoffs? Can we win a Super Bowl? Can they help us out? We have a top 10 pick. Nope. Here's a guy for the future 4 to 5 years down the line.
This is 2 years in a row, this award-winning front office of the Falcons, led by Kaiser Sose McKay and Super Bowl-winning GM Fontenot, have decided to take a luxury item. They had Algier, who was a good back, averaged 5 yards a carry 2 years ago, right? I think Bijan Robinson's a really good player.
Awesome player.
They should have taken Jalen Carter, okay? But they don't. They take a luxury item, okay? Again, they need another Rolex. Why not buy another Rolex, even though you don't have any money? All right, when you look at their team, they were 29th in forcing turnovers last year. Why? They can't rush the passer. Okay, so this year they passed Murphy, they passed Latua, they passed the two defensive players that they could add to their defensive front. See, the biggest issue here is they have this perception that they're really a good team. They believe they're just Kirk Cousins away. And now where this Penix pick comes in, I have no idea. He's 24 years old. He started a zillion games.
Yep.
Like, he doesn't need the red shirt. He's not Drake May. He's not J.J. McCarthy. He can come in and play. He's played in a championship game. He's played a lot. Like, why are we resting him? And then he goes on to say if we have to wait 4 or 5 years?
I mean, it's a good problem to have is what he said.
It's a good problem. 4 or 5 years. Hey, Terry, do you know you're going to pick up the option on a guy that's never played? Do you understand the option rules, Terry, or do you need Chris Olsen to explain that to you? Chris Olsen, who was also in the column that he doesn't want any offseason workouts. Like, you're a laughing stock of the league based on that column. You're the I mean, that Belichick can't fit in the top three of your candidates and you're proud of it, and then you do shit like this? What do you think Belichick would have said to them when they came up with the idea to draft Penix?
Said hell no.
Well, he would have said, look, we're not, first of all, Belichick wouldn't have signed Kirk Cousins. He's not going to pay $90 million for a guy coming off an Achilles. Would he have drafted Penix? Probably might have. Like, probably might have. And you would have been in the same situation. Maybe he would have picked McCarthy. Maybe he would have picked Penix. I don't know. But he would have said, hey, the eighth pick, we're probably going to get a quarterback. Or we're going to get a defensive player. The reality of it is you have to tie offseason into the draft. You can't function as independents, okay? You can't have a free agency period that doesn't marry
the draft.
They have to be together. That's why they call you general manager, because you're managing the team. You're leading the team. This is your job. This is what you get paid to do, is to build the team. And the one position you can't have a hockey line in is quarterback, because you can't play two guys. Right? You can't. Now, well, if Kirk gets hurt, then we'll play Penix. Why did you give Kirk $90 million if he's going to get hurt?
It makes no sense at all.
It's the most ridiculous move you could make. And again, this isn't about Penix. This is about team building. Oh. This is about team building. And when you have a team that, when you look at it, they're 27th in interceptions forced last year. They get no pressure on the quarterback. They have no defensive line. Grady Jarrett's coming off an ACL, right? They need a three technique. I know they signed a kid from New Orleans last year and paid him. They don't have great edge rushers. They can't get pressure on the quarterback. They go into Chicago. They couldn't stop the Justin Fields-led offense. They go and play Tampa Bay at home in a big game, right? In a big game. And in the two-minute drill, Tampa goes down the field and beats them. Like, this team is, they're overvaluating the team. And it's funny because I got a text, we read it on the air the other day, from somebody that knows the situation. He's not there. He's not in the league any longer, but he knows the situation. And he said, look, the problem with the hire of Raheem Morris is Raheem needs a strong general manager. He needs somebody who's going to stand up to him because he gets off track on personnel. You got to have that. And Fontenot will gladly do whatever he wants. Fontenot did whatever Arthur wanted to do. Like, your job of the general manager is to protect the franchise. Protect it for today and tomorrow. Like, we just gave $90 million of our owner's money, and you're telling me we're going to pick eighth? If you want to pick this guy eighth, I got no problem. Take the $90 million, give it to some other players.
And that's the thing, is that, like, what you talked about, like, what were we doing in the fall? Because you said you got to marry free agency with the draft. But Fontenot's job, he's working on this all year round.
All year!
He should be watching Washington play. I mean, the Huskies, they made the national title game. They weren't, like, some team off the radar. We all talk about Michael Penix all college football season. I mean, how are you not at some of those games when they were playing in Seattle?
Brett Veach goes into Andy Reid and sometime in November or October and says, this Mahomes guy is great.
Yeah.
Right? We got to get this Mahomes guy. This is during the season. He's already saying it because he works it. He's not sitting there behind a phone talking to reporters trying to manipulate the thing. I mean, come on, give me a break. Call it like you see it. Like, this is bullshit.
This is
really bad. And these are the guys criticizing one of the winningest coaches of all time in an article they don't have the balls to put their name behind.
Yeah.
Come on. We know who said what. We know it.
They apparently reported, but the Athletic said that they had a 45-minute workout and met with him at the combine. Last time I checked, the combine is before free agency starts. If you were starting to fall in love with him then, why the hell were you looking to get Kirk Cousins $90 million? You never had to sign Kirk Cousins. And they did that. They also fell in love with Penix. So they fell in love with multiple quarterbacks, and Godspeed, Atlanta Falcons. Godspeed.
And it's just amazing.
I don't understand it. We're going to take a quick break. I do want to get into all the other stuff from the NFL draft, but we just had to start off with that because the most
I'm not done.
Okay, you still got some meat left on that bone.
Done.
We're not done. So let's take a quick break. We'll be back. We'll talk more about this Atlanta Falcons move. We'll talk about the six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks, what you called. You wrote about it on VSiN.com. You called that. We'll break it all down next year, though. Let's take a short break here on the GM Shuffle. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. With same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more, don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. I mean, these second-round playoffs have been unreal, and we have the conference finals now on the horizon. Make sure you get all those futures bets in before the value disappears. And if you're new to DraftKings, you gotta check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SHUFFLE. That's code SHUFFLE for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available. For problem gambling, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. You've said it, Michael, but I do think it is important to note that this is not a Michael Penix conversation. This is a process conversation because the Atlanta Falcons weren't the only team interested in Michael Penix. We're getting reports. James Palmer said that the Seahawks, Saints, and Raiders all tried to get into the top 10 to draft Penix.
And that's why, to me, what makes it such an indictment of the Atlanta front office, because Penix's tape was available to everybody. You know, when I first started in the league, we were on 16-millimeter tape. There were three cans of tape on Jerry Rice. That's all there was. Wow. Mississippi Valley didn't have very much money to pay for, because 16-millimeter tape was very expensive. And so it was hard to see players back in the early 80s, because you had to go to school and get the tape. Shockingly today, Super Bowl winning GM Terry Fontenot could sit in his office and on any Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, watch every Washington tape he wants to watch. So, like, there's no excuse to not know the players. And so when you start in December, and when you're putting your board together in December, okay, you're putting your board together based on what the scouts think. The season's over. You still have all-star games. But you kind of have a sense of, okay, here's where the draft is. But you also have a sense of your team needs. You're working on your team needs all through the year. You know this. How do you end up saying you need a quarterback? I agree, you need a quarterback. So you go out and you tamper with Kirk Cousins. You're going to lose a pick on this, by the way.
Yep.
The residual effects of Cousins, besides the money, ain't over with yet. Okay, you're going to lose a pick, and then you decide to take the quarterback, pay him $90 million of Arthur Blank's hard-earned money, cost him another chance at a yacht, to then turn around and go draft a guy. Like, it just it smacks at, there is no long-range planning, and there is simply no plan. There is simply no plan. Because, trust me, if you were sitting in a room in the first of before you went to the combine, you say, look, we've got the eighth pick. We'll have a really good chance to get one of these quarterbacks. We have money. We could use this for this, this. We got to fix the defense. Here's where we're going to go. We have our must list. We have our want list. And we have our need list. We must get a quarterback. We must get a rusher. We must get these things. We need these things. But there's none of that. It's just fly by night. It's just, okay, let's take, look, you know, we have to, you can't pass up Penix. This is the same freaking franchise, okay, that had the audacity to say they're not interested in Lamar Jackson last year.
Yeah.
And put out a fucking press release to announce it.
Nobody asked, they just let us know.
No, they're so talented in evaluation. They put out a press release to say they would not want a two-time winning MVP. But yet they're going to double down on quarterback. Like, how do you have any trust in what they're doing? How?
There's none. And we've talked about the combine. Michael Penix was also at the Senior Bowl. He was hanging out with our guy Jim Nagy. Like, there was multiple opportunities to realize, we really like this kid. Let's target him at 8 and build from there. But they went ahead and did the Cousins thing, and they still doubled down on it to go ahead and take Penix.
It goes back to Brett Veach. Hey, Andy, this Patrick Mahomes guy's really good. Where was Super Bowl winning GM Fontenot telling somebody, we got to go get this guy? There wasn't that. And look, here, I said this too. I said this from the beginning. I never thought this would happen. But I knew the Rams liked Penix. And Zach Robinson, the OC, went from the Rams here. Raheem was at the Rams too. So they all had a sense of it there. So when Raheem gets the job in Atlanta, right, like, I don't think Atlanta had any interest in Penix until Raheem pushed the envelope. Because I think Raheem and Zach Robinson knew Penix, right?
Yep.
Which is fine. This is before March.
Yeah.
One thing coaches don't give a shit about, spending the owner's money. They could care less.
Yeah,
so now we have Kirk Cousins, we have Penix, we don't care, right? That's why they all want to draft more receiver. We need more skill. And then in the middle of October, you know, we need a receiver. They always do that. It's just bizarre. It's bizarre. And look, they made an announcement. Well, you know, teams try to trade for us, and we took Penix. That's more of an indictment. You could have gotten a lot of picks, because you signed Cousins and you could have helped your defense. There's more of every time they talk, they indict themselves further.
Yep.
That's Belichick's not in our top three. We could have had more picks. 4 or 5 years if he has to
good
wait.
Good problem to have.
Hey, Terry, you got to pick up the option. You know anything about an option? Or you need, you know, Chris Olsen will tell you about that. Give me a break.
It's remarkable. And every time they talk, you mention it, I'm like, I just think to myself, why would they admit this stuff out loud? Why would they do that?
Because they're just completely clueless.
Clueless is the right word. Clueless is the right word. Penix was one of six quarterbacks to be drafted in the first 12 picks. We've never seen anything like that in the NFL draft. It tied the record of 1983 of six QBs selected. I asked you about that earlier this week when we did our preview pod. Are we going to get to that record? We got there. You wrote about it on VSiN.com. And it started with Caleb Williams at one to the Chicago Bears. And then we had Daniels, May, Penix at 8. We had McCarthy at 10, Bo Nix at 12. I mean, your thoughts overall on all these QBs going so high and why the league was really invested in getting these guys?
Yeah, I think this. Look, I said this from the beginning. Don't judge these quarterbacks based on your evaluation or based on the mock people's evaluation, okay? That's just not fair. Because I tell you this, if Sean Payton likes a quarterback, there's a reason. And he knows quarterbacks way better than you know quarterbacks.
Because he's getting killed today a little bit. Like, oh, how the hell can you take Bo Nix at 12?
Well, I mean, I have a hard time saying to Sean that some guy who's sitting in his basement in Des Moines eating meatloaf knows more about quarterbacks than Sean, okay? So the grades are stupid, right? The grades are stupid. I seen guy, he's already got a C- from CBS Online, you know, like, okay, really, seriously? Okay, like, look, I have a lot of faith in Sean because he knows, you know, he was wanted to draft Mahomes, he developed Romo, he gets it. Now, you know, and Nix, look, you could say a lot about Nix. Nix is really good on the second play. You were a Nix fan. You thought he should win the Heisman. Yeah. You've been calling this for a while.
I was invested.
I know. Look, to me, I said this before, it's the marriage between the coordinator, the head coach, and the quarterback. That's what makes things successful. That's what's going to make these guys. J.J. McCarthy, you may not like him, but with Kevin O'Connell coaching him, you may like him. Mm-hmm. He's going to bring out what he does, and they're going to take the ability of his talent and bring it to the field. So if you trust Sean Payton, then you got to trust his pick. You can't trust guys that watch college football on Saturday, I don't like Bo Nix, or he throws the ball sideways. Bo Nix, okay, look, would I have taken Bo Nix? No. Would I have taken Michael Penix? Probably would have. Would I have taken J.J. McCarthy? Yeah. Would I be scared of Drake May? Yes. But there's all areas you've got to count on that they can overcome it, right? And what has to be – go back to the great Roger Martin, the decision-making, the management guru, who's tremendous, and read any of his books. He says, what must be true for this to be – for the outcome to be right?
Yep.
And so what Sean can do is make it true. He's going to coach the kid. The kid's very adaptable. He's smart. He gets him in the right play. You talk to anybody at Oregon, they'll tell you that, okay? Is he going to be Dan Marino and just take the offense over? No, but you're trusting Sean Payton's offense to carry the ball, right? And so I think that's really what it is. And we talked about it on the GM Shuffle. Look, we know that not all six are going to work out, but who they go to is going to really matter the most, right? And the Giants wanted May. I wrote this a month ago. They wanted May. They didn't want McCarthy. They wanted May. They took a really good receiver in Neighbors. Can they get him the football? I don't know. Can they protect? I don't know. But they got a good player in Neighbors, right? It's the same thing with the Patriots. They take May. They got to develop him. They've already admitted he's not ready to play.
Yep.
You know, and Belichick said this on McAfee. The kid hasn't played enough. One thing about Penix, he's played a lot. One thing about Nix, he's played a lot.
Nix played, I think, the most starts ever for a quarterback in college football history.
So he's got experience. You want that, right? And so I think, to me, you can't judge it. You got to really just let this thing play out and see. And the tape, the worst tape of any of them is on May because he's really inconsistent. But you're saying that Alex Van Pelt is going to fix him. That's what the Patriots are hoping for. They better hope that they – and Ben McAdoo, the offensive the quarterback coach there, those two people have to make this work. And May's got to be bought in and really work hard to do it, and we'll see.
Well, let's focus on that team building for the New England Patriots, because I think there was a perception that New England really wanted to trade down to maybe get some more picks, because they're looking at the roster, they're saying, hey, we're devoid of talent. We need to surround a potential quarterback with really good players so that can help them out. They went ahead and took May anyways. Sounds like they're going to sit him for at least, I mean, a good chunk of the season, maybe the entire season come this fall. I know things always change, and who knows how. If they start 2-4 and Brissett's bad, I'm sure the fans will be clamoring for May to start. But from a team-building standpoint, do they have enough resources to help Drake May early on in his career? Can they build a good enough roster using this third overall pick and not being able to trade down and get somebody else?
Well, I'm going to put you on something that's the quarterback makes the receiver. The receiver don't make the quarterback. I don't know how many times you got to say that, but it's fairly obvious. The quarterback makes the receiver. The receiver doesn't make the quarterback. Okay, that's pretty clear. That's been over time immemorial. That's happened. I think this. I think New England would have liked to trade down. I think they would have taken J.J. McCarthy as their alternate pick. I think they liked him as well. The problem is, if they traded with the Giants and gave the Giants May, they knew the Giants wanted May. If they gave them, they're sitting there at six with 4 and 5 open for business on trades. They had no idea that maybe Minnesota could have traded up to get McCarthy. And so now they're sitting at six, and if they couldn't get back to four to make that deal, then they could end up with no quarterback, and there was no way they weren't going to take a quarterback. And I don't think they were going to take Penix or Bo Nix. So they only had two guys they wanted, so they kind of got locked into the pick. They got locked in because if Elliott went to six, he had to get back up to four. And then when you look at the value of that, what do you end up – what's the residual effect of all that, you know? The Giants were offering – I think Bill Simmons reported the Giants were offering next year's one to get to three, which would have been great. But what would you have to pay Monty to get to four? See what I'm saying? And so now you start to add that up, and it becomes a little less effective. So to me, that's why, you know, I don't think Arizona moved, because I don't – at the end of the day, I don't think Arizona – Arizona needed May to make it to four to get the phones heated up. Right? I think that was the case. And when May didn't make it to four, I don't think Arizona had a whole lot of offers left, right? I don't think they did. And so then the draft kind of went off. I thought, you know, Tennessee, I was told they were go receiver outside in. They needed the offensive tackle. Good play there. They got Latham. I thought there. We talked about Atlanta. To me, the other one is Chicago. Look, Adunze is a good player. I'm not denying that. How many receivers do you need? How many plays can Adunze play for you next year? You got Keenan Allen. You just redid a steal. You got DJ Moore, and now you got Adunze. And you've got, you know, the tight ends.
Yeah, Cole Kmet.
You got Cole Kmet. Yeah. So, all right, you don't have a right tackle. Caleb Williams wanted him to draft a tackle. He was already playing GM for him already. He wanted a tackle. But for me, a team building, I would have taken Murphy here. To me, they need a three technique. If you understand Eberflus's defense, it's all about the front. You traded for Sweat. Right, you traded for Sweat, pick Lute there, or pick Murphy as a three technique inside, and all of a sudden you're going places. You get Adunze, how many plays is he going to play? Well, we'll be a three receiver team. Ask Buffalo how the three receiver team works out for them.
They've totally disbanded that whole situation.
Because they play in Buffalo. Yeah. They need to play with power. They can't throw the ball every freaking play. It's hard to run the ball in 11 personnel because your slot receiver's got to be a really good blocker. You have no weak side run game, but you got to run the ball. And so you're going to put the ball in 11. You're going to put the ball in a rookie's hands who's fumbled 30 times all the time. I don't think that's smart. So say he plays 400 plays. Murphy would have played 1,200 plays. And Murphy could be an elite three. See, three techniques are hard to find. I've been saying this forever. They're really hard to find, although Super Bowl winning GM Terry Fontenot thinks he can find them at any time. We'll see. But, you know, great suit, by the way. Look great.
Oh, looks fantastic.
Great, nice Rolex.
Yeah.
Good, all good. You know, everything's great.
Yeah, Buckhead's
treating
them up.
You know what I love about the draft? I love when they go in the draft room, and after the pick, everybody hugs one another. Like, why do we have to hug? We knew we were picking. We could have hugged before. We could have hugged before.
The Commanders, Adam Peters was giving They're hugs
hugging.
To everybody.
We knew we were picking Daniels before. Like, do we really need a hug? Like,
just
do we really need a hug?
It's Ari Golden Entourage. Let's hug it out, bitch.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
let's do it. I mean, it's remarkable what we saw last night. And the breakdown of some of these positions, like a record-setting night, which I want to get into that on the other side. I do want to take a quick break here. But 6 quarterbacks in the first round, 7 receivers, 9 offensive linemen, 1 tight end, a record 23 offensive players selected in last night's first round. The previous record was 19. We'll get into that and much more. On the other side, this is the GM Shuffle rolling along day after the first round of the NFL draft. Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf. How about a cold one on the patio during a nice spring day? But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. So like we were saying, a record-setting 23 offensive players heard their names called last night in the first round of the NFL draft. We didn't get a defensive player until 15
Amazing.
With Leiatu Latu to the Indianapolis
Colts. Is anybody paying attention? The Chiefs won a Super Bowl with their defense, right? Is anybody paying attention that you got to, you know, I don't give a crap about all this bullshit about, you know, look, the Patriots.
See, it's an offensive game now.
The Patriots, yeah, it is. Okay. So the Patriots won their Super Bowl, the second Super Bowl. The next year they lose to Denver in Denver. And from that point until 14, they didn't win a Super Bowl. They went to a bunch of conference championship games, but they never could fix – they couldn't outscore anybody. They never finished outside the top 10 in scoring, but they couldn't stop anybody when they needed to, right? And so the Chiefs got the same way. The Chiefs trade away Tyreek Hill, and they basically rebuild their defense. And so, like, this notion that we're just going to outskill and outscore people, the Miami Dolphins have proven that you can't do that. You got to be good up front. You got to win the game that way. And the one that other one that bothered me is, you know, and I this one drives me insane, is, you know, draft day was special for Al Davis because Al Davis was a true team building architect. That's his whole thing, was team building. His focus was always on how are we going to win the division? How do we beat the Chiefs? How are we going to beat the Chiefs? How are we going to beat the Broncos? Or how are we going to beat the Chargers? That's what we have to do, right? That was always the mindset. Where are we deficient, and how can we shift the balance of power in our favor? That's the Raider way. The Raider way, size, speed, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, how do we change the game? Press corners. And for them to take a really good player in Brock Bowers, and I don't
– he's outstanding.
I'm not arguing with the pick. He's a good player. But they can't block anybody up front. But from Colton Miller, who's their only offensive lineman, all the way down, Dylan Parham can't play guard. He's a better center. But they signed Andre James to play center, so they got to play Barnum at guard. He's not a guard, right? They signed Cody Whitehair, who's on one hair. He's not going to play, okay? Mumford's the right tackle. That's a turnstile. You're not beating Kansas City with that offensive line. You've got great skill with Michael Mayer. You've got Jacoby Myers, Devontae Adams. You have no quarterback. And you have a quarterback in Gardner Minshew who's 6 feet tall, who if you don't protect inside, it's going to get ugly.
Yep.
It's going to get ugly. And so to take Bowers there, he's not helping you beat Kansas City. He's not helping you beat Chargers. He's not helping you beat the Broncos. He's not. He's a good player. He's a luxury item. He's a luxury item. And at this point, because of the lack of attention that the prior regime had given to the offensive and defensive lines, they went down this road too. I'll be critical of them too. And I love all those guys that were involved with it. Mm-hmm. But that was where they screwed up, is these lines are horrendous. Now, if they draft Murphy, say they draft Murphy and put him at three technique next to Christian Wilkins. Now you got Tyree Wilson, you got Murphy, you got Wilkins, and you got Max Crosby. That beats Kansas City.
Yep.
That's got, gives you a chance to be – you can stop Patrick Mahomes. You might turn the ball over with that front, right?
Yeah.
And you got other guys that you could rotate through, Kuntz and other guys, right? You got a chance here now. Now, you got no quarterback. You got no offensive line. You can't get the ball to these guys. I mean, I don't give a shit. You can pay Devontae Adams more money, but who's getting the ball to him? When is Gardner Minshew throwing the ball outside the numbers with any regularity? Like, yeah, the pick – look, the pick's a good pick. He's a good player. But we're talking team building here. Like, this is not a good pick for team – and you ask yourself, would Al Davis have made this pick? The answer is no chance. If you understand the Raider way and you understand how he thinks, he would have picked – probably would have picked Latua, the big, fast guy from UCLA, or he would have picked the defensive tackle. Because, look, let's face it, he was about defensive linemen. Think about the great Raider lines with Chester and Howie
Long,
and all these guys, Anthony Smith, all these great rushers. That's how he won. That's why they won. And then mix and match. You sign Christensen, you put him at you mix and match this stuff. To me, that's the other one. To me, the Bears not taking a defensive player. The Raiders not taking a front seven player or an offensive lineman, to me. They give the Jets credit. Look, I mean, they took an offensive lineman. They could have taken – they felt Bowers was a luxury item.
Yeah. The reports out there, Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets for ESPN, said that the Jets would only have taken Brock Bowers if they were able to trade down. They would have taken Odunze if Odunze got there at a 10, but Odunze ended up going 9 to the Chicago Bears. So they wanted to take Olufoshana. They did that trade, little pick swap with the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings went up to 10. Jets went back to 11. They take Fashanu out of Penn
State.
See,
that was interesting. I thought that – you know, we talked about this on the show on YouTube when we were doing our show, the GM Shuffle. And I think they froze the pick there. I can't figure out who they were trying to trade up. Who were they trying to keep out of that spot? right? Were they trying to keep the Raiders out of that spot? I don't know if the Raiders were in on J.J. McCarthy. But, you know, who were they trying to keep out? It wasn't Denver. Denver was going to pick Knicks there.
It was always Knicks.
It was always Knicks, right? So who were they trying to, or did they just say, look, screw it. We don't want to waste around. We just want to make sure we get our guy. We have to get McCarthy, so it's worth a 4 to 5 to do it. But they were freezing the pick by having the Jets on the phone. When you freeze a pick, what you do is you basically get the team on the phone who's right in front of you, because you want to make sure that if they're trading out, you know about it.
Yep.
You know about it. You don't want them to surprise you and trade out. And that's what I think they did, and then they just cashed it in. Now, whether they got convinced that the Jets had another deal they were going to make, and so they just ended up giving, or if they just said, screw it, Joe, we'll give you these picks.
Yeah, let's not even sweat this out. Let's go ahead and get J.J. McCarthy. I do want to go back to the Bowers selection with the Raiders, though, because the draft philosophy of best player available is always talked about during this process. And I'm guessing, as somebody who has no knowledge of what the Raiders draft board looked like, the horizontal board or the vertical board, maybe they had Brock Bowers as, let's just ballpark it, 6th best player in the draft. And they see him there at 13. So maybe in their eyes, they're thinking, wow, we're getting a top 10 player, a guy that we have is one of our 6 best guys here at 13. Even though we have these other needs, this trumps everything else. We got to just go ahead and get the blue chip guy. Is there an argument for that to, hey, maybe BPA was the way here from the team building standpoint for the Raiders?
Well, I think the Raiders probably were down to 2 players. I'm sure they were. I think it was Fuaga and Bowers. And they decided to take, as most coaches want, let's take the playmaker. I mean, look, let's face it, the Charger fans are all pissed off because they picked Alton, not a receiver. Yeah. Right? I mean, that's what happens, right? Your boy Danny O's out there selling that there has only been 3 receivers. How about this? He says there's only been 3 receivers that miss. And did you see his list on how he categorized them all?
I didn't see that part.
All right. Well, I didn't see it either. Somebody showed it to me. That so he puts the guys that Henry Ruggs isn't a miss, it just was a character issue. Hey, Dan, why don't you go speak to some owner after you picked Ruggs and he gets in a fatal car accident and destroys his career and costs people their lives. And explain to the owner that we just missed that one. See how that goes over. See how that's going to go over. Like, he's not calling that a miss. If the guy don't play, that's a miss. He said there's been only 3 misses. Is Rashard Bateman not a miss? Why would you sign Odell Beckham for $17 million if Rashard Bateman isn't a miss? Like, give me a break. So anyway, my point here is all the coaches always want to take the playmaker. Take the playmaker. Take the playmaker. Well, I mean, I think if they would have taken Fuaga at that pick, they would have had at least 1 offensive lineman. I would have taken Murphy. I mean, there's John Schneider sitting there at 15, and he gets the best defensive player, one of the best defensive players in the draft. The Colts sitting there at 14 get one of the best defensive players in the draft. It was never Dallas Turner. It was always Latua.
Yeah. Leiatu Latu goes to the Colts at 15. Murphy 16 to the Seahawks. And that's when we saw the run of defensive guys. Dallas Turner, who the mock draft world had Turner as the best defensive guy, but the league had differently. The Vikings, though, did move up. They moved up twice in this draft. A short move from 11 to 10, and then they went from 23 to 17, trading with the Jacksonville Jaguars to go ahead and get Turner, where they're continuing to add defensive front 7 guys for Brian Flores and that defense, to where I've been impressed with what the Vikings have done this offseason. Like, yeah. I'm not the biggest McCarthy guy. I'm willing to give it a chance and be open-minded because Kevin O'Connell, I trust him, and I trust what he can do as a coach. But I think their offseason's been pretty good, despite what the betting markets might think, thinking that this is a team that's going to be a 6-7 win team.
Yeah, there was a report that the Rams were trying to trade up to get Bowers, and they really they stayed at 19 and picked a really good defensive lineman.
Yeah, Jared Verse out of Florida State.
I mean, you know, they picked a defensive end who can play the run, who can rush the passer. There's a really good pick there. The Steelers go ahead and get another offensive lineman. Look, I think the Eagles hit a home run. I would have traded up to get Mitchell for the Eagles at 22, and I'm sure Howie entertained trading up. But because of the lack of team building that's going on around the National Football League, he could just sit there and get his good player at 22, you know. And like, I didn't get Jacksonville picking Byron Thomas at I know Trent loves size speed players. I get that, Balky. But there's a lot of concern about this pick. Like, this guy,
there's some medical stuff with him, right?
There's some character things. I mean, there's a lack of full intention. I mean, you signed Kirk to money. You give Gabe Davis. You got Duvernay. You got Zay Jones. Like, seriously, you need a corner. you know, you need, you know, you could use another defensive lineman. I'm not saying there was one there. Too. You could use an offensive lineman. Like, I'm not sure. Like, I would have taken the kid from Duke and put him at center. I know they signed Mitch Morris, but they could have used a really good center. And, I mean, everything they're doing is trying to get Trevor Lawrence to throw the ball down the field. Because, let's face it, Lawrence hasn't averaged over 7 yards per attempt in any season. I mean, he's like, it's quietly, no one talks about it, but he can't get the ball. He didn't work the ball down the field.
Isn't that a lot of it, though? Offensive line maybe not having the time to do it?
I think it is.
I mean, this is a guy, he would throw the ball down the field at Clemson. Like, I don't think he's a guy that's just trying to dink and dunk. There's a reason why he's getting the ball out hot, because he's like, hey, I don't want to get killed back here.
But, I mean, look, they got – Evan Engram was a franchise player, right? They paid him. Kirk. They paid Cabe Davis. They traded for Zay Jones and paid him. Now they draft Brian. How many plays is Brian Thomas going to play? Like, how many is he going to play? Like, I didn't get that. I love – We got Big Daddy on one, though. I love it.
They didn't go corner.
They didn't go corner, Big Daddy. I had to eat that.
What was his reaction? I mean, he gets offensive line.
We'll see if he's any good. I said, look, I've known Jordan Morgan since he was a sophomore. He's a really good player. You know, he's a really good player. Everybody thought the Bucks were going to – Bucks take a really good center in Barton, you know. And, look, the Worthy pick to me is interesting by the Chiefs. Everybody loves it because he's so fast.
Yeah. But people are killing Buffalo for trading with Kansas City, saying, how are you helping your biggest rival?
Right. And I think Buffalo's basically saying they didn't like any of the receivers at this point. I mean, because they traded twice away. Now they have the top pick in the third round, but they didn't like Leggett, obviously. They knew they were trading away from Leggett. They didn't like Worthy. They knew we were trading away from Worthy. So they obviously like somebody else. You know, to me, when you trade away from a position that you need and you give it to another team, you didn't like the guy. He wasn't on your board. And frankly, this is why you have a grading system, because Worthy can't really be – he's a gadget player. When he comes in the game, everybody knows something's coming up. Yep. At 160 pounds, it's hard to make him a regular receiver.
Yeah, I mean, because he's been getting the Tyreek Hill comparisons just because of how fast
Tyreek Hill is strong
but
as
yeah,
shit.
Like, if you have eyes, you can see Tyreek Hill is a built person. Worthy is, I mean, he is fast as lightning, 4.21, but he's a very thin guy, 160 soaking wet.
Yeah, I mean, so we'll see. But, I mean, Andy will have a specific way to handle him and see what he can do. You know, Andy will develop him. Look, Guyton for the Cowboys got to come through. Now, he's got to come through. That's a key pick for the Cowboys.
Play early. I hope he's ready.
Yeah, he's going to have to play right away.
That's going to be one. Yeah, they trade down with the Detroit Lions. The Lions, they moved up for Terrion Arnold, the Alabama cornerback there. And I know the fans were excited in Detroit. I mean, also, like, shout out to those 275,000 people in Detroit.
It's a great sports town.
And it's cold outside.
It's a great sports town. I love it.
They were dialed in. They're excited for their Lions. They had everybody, Barry Sanders out there, Hutchinson and Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I love it.
It was a really good night for Detroit. That city's having a moment right now. And they went ahead and got Terrion Arnold, the cornerback out of Alabama, which you said he's more of a zone type of guy. Does he fit in this scheme
for them? I think he can play some man. But he's not a shutdown man to man. Like, he's not. It's not going to be Revis Island over there because Nick didn't play that way. But there are things you can like about him. You know, there's things you can like about him that'll be good for them, and we'll see. I mean, look, they needed another corner. I thought they did a good job in the offseason. They've improved their defense. They improved their offense. They get Zeitler to play left guard to replace the Jackson, who they lost. So, look, it's, you know, their scheme's very good. You know, they should be a really good team. I think Green Bay is going to be a good team, too. I think Chicago moved up. But, see, there's two teams that I worry about that they think they're better on defense than they really are, Atlanta and Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, is Chicago really good on defense? Or is it, is Atlanta? We know Atlanta's not really good on defense. I don't care what they say. They're not. I mean, Raheem can come in there and help them, but they're not. They can't. They have no front.
Chicago, they played better defensively in the second half of the year, but I mean, you don't know if that's going to carry over into this year. And also, get your head coach a three technique. That's the scheme that he needs. He needs more rushers on the defensive. The Sweat trade has worked out for them defensively, but just add another piece. Why not add another piece? But they wanted to get the wide receiver Roma Dunze for Caleb Williams, giving him a toy. I want to take one last break. On the other side, we'll get to the receiver moves, especially at the end of this draft, like with Worthy. We talked about him, but Pearsall to the Niners. What does that mean for this Brandon Ayuk stuff that people have been talking about? AJ Brown, he signed a contract. AJ Brown's always signing deals on draft day. His agent only works on draft day. Shout out to him getting a new guaranteed money. And then also what the Buffalo Bills are going to do. They pick 33rd overall, so they'll have the first pick tonight in rounds 2 through 3 as we wrap up the first weekend of this NFL draft. But we'll get to the receiver stuff and what it means going forward. Maybe some vets get traded today. Discussing it next year on the GM Show. So we saw wide receivers go 28, 31, and 32 to wrap up last night's first round. And the Niners taking Ricky Pearsall at 31, I think, is really interesting, because I think a lot of folks will see that pick and say they must be getting ready to either trade Brandon Ayuk or trade Deebo Samuel. There was discussions about that yesterday in the morning that, hey, the Niners could look to move up into the top 10 potentially by trading one of those guys. How do you interpret this move by San Francisco taking Ricky Pearsall out of Florida?
Well, I think, look, you know, everybody wants to say, are they going to trade Ayuk? But what are you getting back for him? Like, you're not getting a player as good as Ayuk back. You know, now I know they have a lot of cap room tied up in receiver in terms of Deebo, but they need an outside receiver, right? I mean, the 49ers, I mean, the guy averaged 17-plus yards per attempt, per catch last year.
Second team all pro. It was awesome.
I mean, you know, and so once Adunze went off the board, and I'm not sure that the 49ers liked Adunze, I don't know that, but once he went off the board, there's no other receivers that is as good as Ayuk has played in the National Football League out there. And so you've got to ask yourself, like, what are we getting back for the guy? And the 49ers, for them to function effectively within their framework of their offense, they need outside receivers. Like, they need Ayuk. They need Ayuk badly. Now, they have a lot of good inside receivers. And see, I think the misconception is Debo's a really good player. But Debo's really a running back playing wide receiver. Debo's good with the ball in his hands, but Deebo can't line up on the outside and win one-on-one on the outside numbers. Deebo has to be able to be inside, get the ball, yards after the catch, run with it. Great player. Great player. Gets hurt a little too much, but great player. I mean, I could see that being more of a – that he's under contract. I could see a team taking him. Not that he's easily replaceable, but he's a guy that is in the middle of the field. They've got to be able to stretch the field horizontally in their offense. And I think Ayuk gives them that. And I don't know if Pearsall will give them that down the road. He's really a talented player. But for me, you know, the one that I would look to before Ayuk would be Deebo, because we've got Kittle, we've got McCaffrey. We can throw the ball in the middle of the field.
Yep.
We can throw the ball in the middle of the field. We have to make defenses respect us outside the numbers.
Yeah, and Brandon Ayuk is still a young player. Like, he's not like he's getting up there in age or anything like that. I'm curious, though, for the Deebo Samuel. Ayuk is 26 years old, just turned 26 this March. What is the value for a Deebo Samuel? Because, like, I know there was the contract discussions, like, a couple years ago when he asked for he did the scrubbing season thing, scrubbed all of his Niner stuff. They came to an agreement, then he put it all back up there, which is this hilarious behavior. But knowing what we know about Deebo and the injuries and the toll that's on his body, just given the fact that they use him as a running back, they use him as a receiver, he is a versatile weapon. Could they get as much for a Deebo as they would Ayuk? Because I feel like Ayuk would be the guy that maybe they could maybe fetch that first round pick. Deebo, maybe that's a day two pick at best. Maybe even it's a day three pick, given the fact that he's a little bit up there in age and all the wear and tear on his body.
Yeah, look, I mean, Debo's a fabulous player.
Oh, yeah, he's outstanding.
And he has to be in the right scheme too now. I mean, he's got to be, and Kyle does a wonderful job of utilizing his talents, and they work really good at getting him the football. But in terms of just lining up on the outside and saying you're going to win out there, that's a different game for him. That's not his strength. And every player has strengths and weaknesses, you know, and every team would need him. I think that the reality of it is you're taking on an older player. And when I say older, a guy who's got a lot of injuries, wear and tear on his
28
body.
28 years old then.
28 years old, you know, who's basically an inside receiver. But now we're seeing A.J. Brown get his contract redone. This market for receivers has taken off. And so just like Chase, they can't pay T. Higgins. Like, would you trade Deebo for T. Higgins? I would.
Yeah.
I would. If I were San Francisco, I would. I don't know if they would. I don't know if the Cincinnati Bengals would do that, but I certainly would. And I think that's kind of where they have to take a look at. Like, what can you get for either one? I don't see them trading Ayuk to be – and the reason I say that is because I don't see how they replace him. They need an outside receiver badly. And, you know, look, I think when you look at Pearsall, you know, I mean, he you know, 2 years ago he averaged 20 yards a catch. It was only 33 catches. Last year he had 65 catches. He averaged almost 15 yards. They need an outside receiver that makes the defense respect them. I think that's really key.
Yeah, Pearsall was actually a teammate of Brandon Ayuk. He started his college career at Arizona State there. And Brandon Ayuk texted John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan last night saying – Fire pick can't lie about them taking Ricky Pearsall 31st overall. You brought up A.J. Brown before the draft, about an hour before it was announced that he signed the extension with the Philadelphia Eagles. 3-year extension, $96 million. He's now under contract through 2029 with total guarantees of $84 million, which is the highest of any wide receiver in NFL history. I'm sure he's a happy guy.
Sure he is.
He's gotten his contract there from
but
the
now,
Eagles.
You know, Jefferson's coming in.
And he, yeah, I'm sure yeah, he wants 30-plus.
Nobody pays attention. The highest paid receiver was a second round pick, right? The second highest paid receiver was a fourth round pick in St. Brown. You know, the third highest paid receiver was a fifth round pick in Tyreek Hill. The fourth highest paid receiver was Cooper Kupp. Like, at some point, when does somebody sit there and say, they're out there everywhere? They're all out there. I mean, Pearsall might be better than Adunze. I don't know. Now, who knows, right? You know, and so, like, Justin Jefferson was the fifth receiver picked in his class. You know, I know there's been only three busts since 2018. We got to get on that math. I mean, that's just fucking brilliant.
I saw the list and I just shook my head.
I mean, like, can you talk about a narrative? Unbelievable. Like, your job is to give out. Look, we can all disagree, but don't insult my intelligence.
Yeah, that's just. I mean, maybe he's a friendly grader. Maybe these wide receivers are all going
to
be really good.
I mean, get the nuns from Catholic school to come in and see if they would approve of that.
I wish he was my teacher back in the day. Might have had a 4.0 GPA. But the receiver market, you mentioned Jefferson. CeeDee Lamb is out there as well. He wants to get paid.
Yeah, of course he's going to get paid.
And if you're all these guys' agents, because everyone says, why haven't the Cowboys done CeeDee Lamb, which is what I've been asking as well. It's like, please get him done. But if you're CeeDee Lamb and you're CeeDee Lamb's agent, let's just wait.
See, the thing with people don't understand is there's no games. So you got no chance of getting hurt now.
Yeah.
And so the enticement to do a deal now isn't really there. The enticement isn't like it favors the player now. When the club gets the best deal is during the season, when there really hasn't been, you know, the time to do CeeDee Lamb was in November. That's when you want to do it because there's games and there's, oh, if I get hurt, but I got this guaranteed, right?
Yep.
That's the time to do it. Not now. Now is like we're not playing any games until.
Exactly.
Why would I do a deal now?
Yeah, and you don't have to show up to the offseason activities.
Why would I do a deal before Justin Jefferson does a deal?
Yep.
Let Justin carry me away all the way up there.
Or before Jamar Chase gets a deal.
And A.J. Brown did a deal. You know? I mean, so, like, that's the thing.
Yeah. No, it's going to be the market that's going to – we saw defensive tackles get a lot of big money this year, and even last year the receivers are going to get big money this offseason. It's just a matter of when and not if for Jefferson, for Chase, for
I mean, they're going to be over – they're going to get to the $35 million range. I mean, think about that. And if you're paying one receiver $35 million per year – you know, that's quarterback money.
Better be a damn good player.
You better be a number one receiver. You better be a number – and there's very few number one receivers.
Which is the misconception that's out there is that, hey, there's 20-something wide receiver ones. It's like, no, there's 32 guys who play that position, but not 32 guys that are actually of that caliber here. The Buffalo Bills start the day. They're picking 33. How about our guy? I didn't even mention this. David Tepper was itching to get into the Thursday.
Oh, he couldn't wait.
He couldn't wait. I was like, there was no Tepper on the schedule. He got in there right before the end of the draft, picking Xavier Leggett at 32 overall. Dan Morgan, Dave Canales, they get their wide receiver out of South Carolina. Buffalo's now at 33. They have a lot of options at wide receiver. I mean, A.D. Mitchell is still out there. There's a number of guys out there.
Well, obviously,
do they
there's
look
somebody
to move that, down? Or do they...
I mean, there's somebody that there's a reason. When you move as much as they move, they're trying to move in a location to where the grade matches the pick, right? So now they moved out of the fifth-year option. They get a four-year player. And, you know, and not, I think they could go anywhere they want to go here. Could they go – is it, you know, I mean, the board is – we know the defensive board isn't very good, but I think it opens them up. The hard part is if they don't solve that third receiver, everybody in Buffalo is going to be – the pressure's on Sean McVay. I mean, the pressure's on McDermott. Sean McDermott. There's no question about that. And they've got to make the pick. They got to make the right pick here. And I think they can go anywhere you want. Like, they don't have to get a receiver. Like, they could end up – look, do you remember there's a guy named Puka that went in the fifth round?
We forget these things.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
We really forget. It's like, you got to get a guy. And it's like the guy who almost won Offensive Rookie of the Year was a fifth-round draft pick.
Fifth-round pick.
Situations matter in team building. It's you don't have to get the need right away, which as fans, it's hard to kind of square with that.
Because you don't know the player.
Because
nobody knows the players.
Exactly. So you're just looking at the positions. You're like, and I'm screaming. I was like, God, we got to get an offensive lineman. And the Cowboys ended up taking Tyler Guyton. But that's like the whole thing I was thinking in my mind last night was, O-line. And if they didn't take an O-lineman, I would have probably freaked out. But they ended up taking the guy. But they moved down and got a picked up a third-round pick, which is pretty nice there. So they got a little bit of ammunition today on this Friday. Second round and third round today. Rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday, and then we'll wrap this thing up, and lying season will officially be over.
There we go. Let's do it.
It's been a fun lying season, and it has been
a fun...
We'll
be back on Monday, right?
We'll be back on Monday to recap everything.
I can't wait for the brilliance of the Falcons. What do they have in store for us next?
Do we see any veterans?
Take Spencer Rattler. How do you pass that up?
How do you pass... You know, if we have three quarterbacks in the roster, it's a good problem to have.
Let's have it. You know,
it's a good problem.
Because, you know, we could be here 4 or 5 years. There's a thing called an option bonus here. You got to pick that up. Super Bowl winning GM Terry.
Is Rattler the next quarterback that gets called?
At this point,
it's a crapshoot.
I mean, it's a crapshoot. It's either Pratt. I mean, who knows?
Pratt. People like Pratt. Our guy Jim Nagy likes Pratt.
Pratt. Yeah.
He's been talking about it for a couple of years now. He's been on the Michael Pratt thing. But obviously, podcast on Monday to recap everything. We, of course, appreciate everybody that the YouTube chat was going
was
pretty good
last night.
It was a lot of fun. So thank you, everybody, who tuned in last night on our GM Shuffle NFL Draft Special, which aired on DraftKings Network and on VSiN last night. It was a whole lot of fun. We had Tim Murray in here. We had Matt Eumanns. It was a blast. And then now we just go ahead and sit back, see what the weekend unfolds. You're heading back to Jersey soon?
Heading back to Jersey on Sunday. I'll be ready to go on Monday. I'm looking forward to tonight. Because today's a really important day. Second and third round, you get really good players. Potential starters with 4-year contracts at cheap economic value. These guys are this is the two rounds that make the biggest difference in your draft.
100%. This is where team building and this is where the championships are won. It's like the headliners are Thursday, but the team building, the championships, those are usually won on Friday, and then we go from there throughout the weekend. So as always, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Thank you to our producer Elliot Bowman with us on the ones and twos. He's excited for his guy Latu. He's excited for that.
That's great.
It's a good pick. He should be excited.
I mean, the teams that pick defensive players. Basically, I had a really good draft.
It just fell right to him.
Philly, Indy, Seattle. Yeah,
didn't have to move up or anything. I guess the Vikings moved up for Turner, but the other guys, they just fell right to him. As the NFL draft will continue to roll along, we'll be back with you guys on Monday in our usual time slot, Monday, Thursday, next week. But Monday, we'll break it all down. But Michael, safe travels back to Jersey. This has been a blast having you out here in Vegas. And we'll see you guys on Monday. Be well until then.